This is the overture, which in the radio version is accompanied by a live announcer welcoming the audience to the show.
The Holiday Playhouse Radio Theater, starring Joe Mantegna, Sharon Lawrence, Jamie Farr, and Fred Willard.
In the stage version, this music cue would just play as an entr'acte.
With Jonathan Green on the organ and sound effects...
The theater organ here is exactly the sound used in the late 1940s for everything from radio thrillers to soap operas. And it supports the great variety of moods of wonderful life.
This is the story of George Bailey.
Sometimes the music is a bed with dialogue over it, like this.
New York. But George Bailey, more than anything, wanted to see the world.
Either with the angels setting up a scene or George Bailey and the other characters in action.
But also big responsibilities. Of course, sometimes the two don't exactly fit together.
Sometimes happiness. At other times, music is used as a bridge between scenes, the way movie soundtrack music assists scene transitions in conveying a change of time or location. For example, anytime we go to heaven, there's a little heavenly music that comes up underneath and plays for a moment to set that scene. Here's a bed that plays under George and Mary's troubling courtship scene. There's a point where it gets wrenching as George declares, "I don't want any plastics, any job, any ground floors, and I don't want to get married ever to anyone." Accompanying this tearjerker is the kind of emotional four-hanky music that was authentic to these scenes in the 1940s. Later, George and his staff are watching the clock, waiting for it to be 6 p.m. so they can finally lock the loan office doors. For this, Jonathan Green composed music to mimic the ticking clock, and it makes the countdown that much more dramatic. When Uncle Billy goes to the bank to deposit $8,000, he runs into mean old Mr. Potter, and the Christmassy music ends with a very sour sting chord. With the loss of the $8,000, George returns home despondent, but must endure 8-year-old Janie practicing at the piano. There are several cues of this amateurish but cute version of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. George is at Martini's Tavern, and there's an Italian accordion playing Santa Lucia while George prays for help. This cue is interrupted when an angry Mr. Welch punches out George for berating his wife on the phone. After Clarence grants George's wish to never have been born, they stop into the tavern, but now it's a rowdy honky-tonk, and the source music is a mean barrel-house piano version of Jingle Bells. George's nightmare visit to Pottersville leads him to accost Mary, now a librarian and spinster. Trouble mounts, and George winds up with a lynch mob chasing him. In a long cue, about 80 seconds, but shorter in this demo, the music covers George and Mary's struggle, the lynch mob, his running off, and finally George winding up at the bridge looking for Clarence. With the music underscoring the action and dialogue, it now changes as George begs Clarence to let him live again. As the humble George prays and pleads, "I want to live again, oh God, let me live again," the music morphs into a churchy cadence, and George gets his wish, accompanied by the sound effects of his transformation. At the very end, back in his home and reunited with family and friends, Auld Lang Syne begins to play. But it's by 8-year-old Janie, so the playing isn't exactly perfect. But now, George loves that imperfection. Everybody begins to sing along as George thanks Clarence, and then joins them in song. This is how the show ends. But after the cast take their bows, the organ returns to reprise Auld Lang Syne as a sing-along for the cast and audience. It's a fitting and emotional ending to the production. This is just a brief sampling of the 50 music cues composed and arranged by Jonathan Green. That's 40 minutes of musical underscoring. I hope this walkthrough has given you an idea of just how wonderful your production will sound with this music accompanying your cast.